Wait, hold on.
There is a song that's going to be coming. This has been a very interesting process on this one. Last night, I was telling, I think yes, you, maybe everybody was listening over at the dip.
Okay.
I was working on it last night, trying to write my notes out, because I print out what you see, and I write my notes so I don't get lost, I don't forget, I don't wander. I'm a great one for rabbit trails. And I got this other idea, and I was saying, Lord, am I supposed to teach something different? Now I'm doing this late last night. Because I always work right up at, you know, like 11 o'clock at the table. Okay, one more time just to make sure everything's good. And then the Lord says something to me. And they go, you know, have you done that?
Never. I've never experienced it. I have no idea what you're talking about.
This word drops in and says patience. And I'm reading, I was reading something. I don't remember what I was reading. But then it says, I read Exodus. I was doing something in Exodus, and was talking about the children of Israel. And it says, patience. I said, and then I got a title. It's called, and the title was A Pillar, A Cloud, and Patience. That's it.
Okay.
So that's where my, and so then I started thinking, I started working on that outline. I said, oh no. Then I stopped, and the flow stopped, and I said, okay, I'm just going to save this.
Right.
Yeah. And then I finished this up. I said, you know? So, I'm going to play the song, and then I will start talking.
Okay.
Sitting on a metal folding chair in what appears to be a Sunday school room, he could see that shepherd boy, his sling up in the air. He could feel that giant death with a boom. In that room I saw the Red Sea part, and two by two animals get in the ark, and Mrs. King gently would say, the God of the past is still God today.
That's so good.
So tell me again of the old stories. Tell me again of the faithful who walked in the lion's den and the fiery furnace of Noah and rainbows and donkeys that talked. I don't wanna forget. So please. Tell me again of the gospel story. Tell me again how the whole world was lost, how the only begotten with grace so amazing gave up his life on an old rugged cross. I don't want to forget, so please tell me.
Jeff Moore in the Distance. I like him a lot. I thought I'd lost this CD, and so I bought it again, and I reloaded it into my playlist so I could play it, because they're being strict on what I can use out of the YouTube.
Sure.
But if I own, if it's on my playlist, they say, I own it.
Right.
Therefore, I can play it. So, old stories.
Yeah.
The Lord is the greatest storyteller ever. Mm-hmm. He starts from the beginning, he goes to the end, and it's a never-ending story.
Right. And it's one story.
It's one story. I was once told, I think when I was first saved in a Baptist church, they talked about the scarlet thread. It goes from beginning to end.
Right.
And then at Biola, I heard it again. It wasn't just something that weird Baptists teach. It's like there is a theme to everything. And so I'm going to talk about how we become part of the story. And we have a story that we need to be talking about. So, because we've been invited into as a cast member into the story.
Hey.
There you go.
That's your word.
See? Mm-hmm. That's God, you know. Arranging things.
That sneaky guy.
Like it says in the song, it says, he's the one.
He's the one.
He's the one. He's the only one. So, this story is very interesting. There are, you know, it's like there's a beginning and there's an end. Alpha and Omega. Mm-hmm. That's the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. It's all encompassing. You know, God doesn't have a beginning and end, but the story has this part of it, and it has this part of it. And in between, we fill. And he's filled. And all we need to know, you know, it's like we need to understand the outcomes and how we participate in those outcomes. We have, you know, we have in Genesis 3, we have the introduction of the head crusher. The head crusher. You don't know that. In Genesis, the introduction of the thread is not in the beginning. God created the heavens, the earth. That's not exactly the beginning of the scarlet thread, although you need that to get to the scarlet thread. Well, I'll tell you.
I thought you said
it's not going to be here.
Yeah, head crusher.
Yeah.
The head crusher.
Head crusher.
The heel.
The heel.
Okay.
I'll read it.
Okay.
It's Genesis 3:15, I think. Oh yeah. It says, and he will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. There's a head crushing thing. The King James does a little bit better, but that's the first time that Genesis 3 is where God introduces the concept of a savior. It's right after the sin of Adam and Eve. And then he starts prophesying, well, the serpent is going to do this, because obviously he didn't crawl. He wasn't a belly crawler, he was a walker. because part of his curse is you're going to fall on your belly.
Right, interesting.
So his life changed. And there's, and that's beginnings of the story. That's where we should be getting excited. It says, let's see here. It says, So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly, you shall go.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go on his belly before that. The curse for him, part of it was, you're going to go on your belly.
Right.
And you shall eat the dust, because that's where his face is. His faith and all the days of your life. So that's the beginning. Then it says, I'm going to put enmity in him and start doing some head bruising and heel crushing and all sorts of stuff. So, and then the lady has multiplied pains in childbirth, which wasn't supposed to happen exactly that way apart from sin.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the curse is the difficulties that exist in bringing forth life.
Mm-hmm.
But bringing forth life is difficult. Jesus had to be born through a process, and then he died and was resurrected so we could be born again. That's part of the story. He had to get crushed again and beat up, and then he came back and said, ha ha. We get to be part of the ha ha.
We are the ha ha.
Well, we are, but we also get to say ha ha.
And we also get to say.
Yeah, see. So it's old stories. We forget that all these pieces are out there. And the world says, no, there aren't any pieces, because it's just myth. It's just, so we got to remember the stories. So we're going to start with some stories. In the beginning, God created heaven. That's the beginning. The beginning of where the thread starts. And before that, what was there?
Chaos.
Well, there was chaos, but even before that, the chaos is because I think there's a rebellion with Satan. He brought chaos in, and then God brought order. There was a war. It started before creation. The war was already going on. Because when creation happened, Satan was already around in a fallen state. That's part of the story. We forget. But before even the chaos, there wasn't chaos. What was there?
God.
There was God. There was God. And then he decided that it was time to do the plan. The plan included chaos. Because chaos was there before there was man's sin. Okay, so we have this part, we have this beginning. But the thread, beginning to end. Well, we have to talk. Here we go. But in the Gospels, we have the beginning reiterated, because Jesus says, I was in the beginning. Because the Genesis is, in the beginning, God. But then it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was there. So we find that the thread starts at the beginning, but Jesus says, I'm there. So the thread starts, the thread is continued. We have the thread in Noah, because he didn't die. But he had to carry the thread in. There's all sorts of stories that we have to remember, because our story has to remember those stories. We have to be able to talk about those stories in our story. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's why sometimes we have favorite stories.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about those favorite stories all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But we leave all the not favorite stories out.
Mm.
Because, yeah. The genealogies and chronicles. We don't tell those stories, but God did.
Right.
Sometimes stories are not exciting. These have necessary pieces to the next piece. And you have to get through. Becky got mad at me once. We have a Bible trivia.
Only once?
I didn't even do anything bad. Which is really good.
We were playing
Bible trivia.
You're outnumbered.
And there was a question about the genealogies in Chronicles. And I don't know how I did it. I knew the answer. And I gave her the answer and she got mad because I knew the answer.
You so-and-so.
Yesterday, as part of my story, Nathan was at our house visiting, and he got a phone call from Texas. He has a friend, and his friend was with his wife, and they make it a conference call. And he says, we're having a debate. He didn't want to say it was an argument, so he called it a debate. And his wife apparently is Catholic, and she was trying to remember what the seven deadly sins were. I can never remember lists. Lists are terrible.
Right.
But I'm going through there, and Nathan is, can my dad listen? He says, sure. And you can't Google. Said, oh, okay. So this guy's yelling, and then he says, gets his wife to say something, and she gets through five of the sins. And she says, I'm stuck. And says, do you want me to tell you? No. I said, you want my dad to tell you? And he said, okay. And I said, the two that you're missing are envy and lust. He says, how did you know? And Nathan says, because he knows.
I know stuff.
But that's part of my story now. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Texas. I don't know this guy.
Right.
I don't know his wife. They don't know me. But now they've heard something. And Nathan says, he knows. My dad knows. So now I have this piece that says, I know. He says, do you know? I think probably I know because I used to read all the stuff. And you used to get mad at me because I used to read all the stuff. At Biola's. She would study for a test and I'd study everything. She'd get a better grade on the test, but I would always know more. And she would get upset, but you could get a better grade, but I wouldn't know as much. I would just get a better grade.
And I would flip my pencil in the air after he'd say something like that.
And she would take really copious notes to study. I'm a rotten note taker because I listen. And I remember, and then I go and I read. It used to kill me. We have to read, the Bible through in five different translations in class. Mm. So we had to pick translations. I said, well, I don't have any translations other than my King James and the Bible they gave me as a new student, as a New American Standard. So then I had to go find other Bibles and check them out at the library. So I could get five translations. And then I had one class where I had to be able to give a Bible quote on my tests. That was a requirement. What's your Bible quote? And every test, I had to have it in a different version. So I had to have more than five versions.
Wow.
So I eventually started reading different translations just because I had Greek. So I thought I can use my Greek. I can do a Greek verse. And so I would do that. Greek verse. I put the translation underneath it. I get extra credit.
You wrote in Greek? Wrote the alphabet?
Oh, yeah. I memorized it that way for the test. I don't memorize Greek, but for the test, I would memorize Greek. I was having fun with that stuff because I wanted to learn. I got to Biola, and I said, I feel like I'm behind. I'm 20 years old, and I don't know anything about the Bible. So I have to read, I have to catch up. So I did. I read and read and read and drove her crazy and read and read and read. I was no good in study groups because I didn't take notes. But I knew because I read. So we have to know so we can tell. Even the silly stuff.
And I scored higher than him on all the tests we ever took. We were in the same class because that's what I studied. And I would get mad at him because he would study everything. It's like, they're not gonna, Dr. Mitchell said he was not going to do this one. And it's like, I know, but I'm going to know.
I'm going to know.
It was actually frustrating to me.
I'm
going
to know.
How can you not want an A?
It was in college where I came to the realization a grade will not make me knowledgeable. I had to know whether I have a grade or not. The grade, so I drove her crazy and let it go.
Didn't even care.
No, I didn't. It was very strange. So we have part of the thread. You have John. He helps you become part of the character, group of characters that are in the Bible. I'm going to get to that later on too. Change pages. The Revelation. I'm still following the thread. At the end, Jesus is still talking. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the Word. I am in the beginning. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am, says the Lord God, who is and was and is to come, the Almighty. From beginning to end, the thread is there. It's like the thread is becoming part of my streams. Remember I did the thing on streams? So I'm finding that it's not made up. Somebody didn't say, there's a scarlet thread because you find a little bit here and you find a little bit there. So if you look, you find the thread. Mm-hmm. And God was consistent. He wanted people to know. He didn't want them to have an excuse. He didn't want us to have an excuse and not be responsible for somebody else's excuse to not know. We need to know what God wants us to know so we can be what God wants us to be. So we have Revelation, says that he's even at the end, he said, I'm everything. I'm here, you're here. It's still part of our responsibility and part of our life. Because we don't die, and it's not that we die and go to heaven, it's that we transition from this kind of living to another kind of living.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we don't stop living, we just start living a different way. Sort of. But we're still living with the same people, with the same thread, we're still living with the same story. We haven't changed stories. We're just in different chapters. Which makes it very interesting. Now, a couple of things that help us learn the Alpha and the Omega part of it. I thought, I have to have some people that talk about the story. So I thought, who do I talk about first? Well, Mary talked about her part in the story. Do you remember that she said something about her part in the story? It's in Luke 1:46 and 49. It says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of this servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Mm-hmm. We will talk about her. Mm-hmm. Even non-believers talk about her. Mm-hmm. Blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. She has a whole song. In the Catholic Church, that song, it's called the Magnificat or something. But that's a memorized prayer. I remember learning it when I was getting ready for Second Communion, my first Holy Communion. I had to memorize all sorts of things. And it wasn't until afterwards that I realized that's scripture. I was memorizing scripture. I just thought it was prayers. Mm. But it was later on when I started going to the Baptist Church, and left the Catholic Church, said, I saw Bibles for the first time.
Oh.
Never saw a Bible. I still have my very first Bible. It's at home. My youth group gave me one when I graduated from high school, King James. I called it my pocket Bible. Even though it was big, it fit in the back pocket of my Levi's. So I could carry it everywhere I went.
This has nothing to do with what you're saying, but I'm reading that, and isn't this a stunning declaration when actually the events of her life everyone else would say a tragedy, and you know, they're, I mean, you're being stigmatized and isolated and pushed out, and I mean, all sorts of actually bad things are happening in her life.
She could have been stoned.
This is her declaration.
And she's excited.
That's perspective.
Yes. That's a declaration, like,
it's amazing what revelation can do.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's like, this is what he said. You're going to be pregnant before you're married, or before you're going to be. It's weird. And she says, I'll do it. Yes, fine. She's maybe 14 years old, 13 years old at the time. And she's saying, yes, I'm willing to do this. Knowing that in her culture, when she gets pregnant and she's not actually with a man in yet,
right.
They stone her to death. Hmm. That it tells you something about God picking this girl. She's going to be part. She wasn't thinking I'm going to be part of the story. And yet, what she says, she recognized in the spirit that she's part of the story. That people are going to talk about her. She's not even there yet. And she's talking. We are there. Are we talking? Do we have a story? Do we have a story? I find it amazing. She has a story that is the gospel. She's a piece, an essential part of that gospel, the good news,
right?
And she's not taking any credit for any of it. She's the same thing. She's just thankful that she gets to be a part. Not even the understanding that she's the essential part. She doesn't really know that. She just knows that I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to die. I mean, I could imagine her thinking that. And I'm going to praise the Lord because this is what he wants to do. Think about that. Praising the Lord because you have to die for him. Maybe. There's limited understanding. But she went with what the angel said. The angel was just telling her what God said. Story. People will know her. There's a song, I think you sang it once. Mary, did you know?
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple lines in it. It says, did you know that your son would walk on water? And you did. But there's one thing, there's a couple that I highlighted because they always grab me. It says, did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. That just grabbed me. She kissed God before she even realized what she was doing. And this song is, Mary, did you know? And it lists things that would have been realities. Did she know? Really? Did she understand at this point that she was going to kiss the face of God, that she was going to hold him and feed him and do things that would help him die and rise again. Keeping him healthy so he could die. Keeping him strong so he could suffer. Did she know that? Do we know what part of the story we have?
Yeah, right.
You see? The story is amazing. Matthew, there's another part of the story. The story always has an alpha and an omega. Well, some people are the omega part. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. This is a lady who poured, I think it was nard, I think is what they called it.
Yep.
And she was just anointing him for death.
That wasn't her intent.
No, I don't think it was her intent, but that's what Jesus said.
That's what he said.
She is doing this. She is, in a sense, she's doing a prophetic thing. She's saying, Jesus is going to die, and he needs to be prepared. We need to recognize this. So, but that's what she did. A lot of times, the people are doing things, and they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's not kidding, right?
Still. We sometimes have to obey and not understand what we're doing, which sounds weird.
Right.
Because we're Americans and we have to know.
Right.
We have to understand. We have to know the ifs, ands, and buts. We have to, you know, dot those I's and
right.
cross those T's, and we have to know. And God says, no, you don't have to know. You have to believe me.
Right.
You have to believe me. And so she's doing this thing, and Jesus says she's going to be talked about. This is important. She has something, she has done something that is significant
mm-hmm.
because she's part of a prophetic enactment.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What part do we play? Are we looking for something to do? Or are we just waiting? What are we doing? Are we arguing over what he's told us to do? There are times that I've argued about what, you don't want me to do that, do you? Even last night when I thought I was gonna have to change my sermon.
Yeah.
Said, there was this thing that said, I can't do that. God could have said, yes, you do. You're gonna do that. He just was playing games. He was talking about playing. We're going to learn in sometime in the future that God has a very interesting sense of humor. And I think that. I believe that. So, Mary, so Becky, did you know?
Mm-hmm.
Dee, did you know? We could write a song about you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Linda, did you know?
Mm-hmm.
Did you know? Danny, did you know? I mean, just put that question with your name. Did you know what God had? But there is, let's see here. Oh, yeah. You know what's expensive about her ointment? The process to get this stuff was amazingly expensive. It was a really weird. You have to dry, pour out the liquid from this nard plant. And then you have to dry that liquid from the jar. Then you have to reconstitute that thing. And it was a whole long process, and it was very hard. And the nard plant actually doesn't come from the Middle East. It's an Indian plant.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys that are bringing it are from the East, like the wise men.
Mm-hmm.
Wise men from the East.
Wow, yeah.
They brought, you know, myrrh and frankincense and gold. But some of the travelers from the East were bringing nard because the wealthy people like this stuff. They use it as a spice, and they use it, but they also use it as an anointing oil for the end, or for, they use it as a healing ointment and stuff. But it was very expensive because the process was amazing, and you couldn't get it there, you had to import it. Very expensive. So, you have this woman who, that's why they got mad at her. She could have sold you. Well, yeah, she could have. But she had a more important job to do than make money. So, we have a more important job. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and then the sin which so doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We can become part of the cloud. We're running with patience with the people in the cloud. Though that their stories, Abraham, you know, Isaac, Jacob, Noah, Moses.
You're saying we're running now with them.
We're running now
with
them, yeah.
That's so good.
We have to set aside the things that get in the way in the world and say, realize that we have a big race to run. And we're running with important people. Not that they thought of themselves as important, but in the big picture, they are witnesses, just like we are. They witness certain things. And we get to run with them. We get to have, get ourselves listed in the witnesses of God.
Right.
How cool is that?
Totally.
We always think of, well, I got to put my material in cloud. But there's a cloud that we don't even know about. Yeah. This cloud is nothing compared to the real cloud. The witnesses. The people that came before us. Men and women. In that cloud is Deborah. One of the judges. On the list of famous people, there aren't a lot of women in there. But you have Deborah. Mm-hmm. You have Sarah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a few others. I was reading this morning. John was talking about Jesus, who was prophesying the, and John the Baptist. And he always talked about Jesus as being before him. But John the Baptist was the older one.
By six months.
When Mary showed up to visit, he leaped in his mother's womb and was filled with the Spirit at that time. And Elizabeth knew it. Interesting. But John's saying, he was before me. We have stories. Do we understand our story? Not necessarily all the time, but do we tell the story anyway? We have things to tell. Mm-hmm. Are you becoming gospel evidence? Mm-hmm. Gospel evidence.
That's good.
It says that in 2 Corinthians that Paul talked about the people being epistles read.
Right.
There were letters that would be epistles that were a testimony to Paul, who was he's part of the cloud. And we are written as letters as part of the cloud. And we refer to other, you know, if I talk about people that were influential in me, then they are my Pauls. Do you have Pauls? In your epistle, do you reflect back on those people that helped you? Mm-hmm. Somebody significant for me would be Clell Bontrager. Mm-hmm. He was the first youth pastor I had. He was a math teacher at high school. Not my high school, he was at a competitor's. We used to play sports against him then. He wasn't my friend then. Because I was an athlete. But he sometimes gave me rides. He was important in getting me to understand things. Do you have people? I had Bart. He was a fifth grader, and I was a sixth grader. And he invited me to church when I was in elementary school. He says, there's going to be a magician at my church. So I told my mom and my dad, that I've been invited to church. There's going to be a magician there. I want to see the magician. And they said, okay, this is a Christian illusionist. Mm-hmm. And it was, went to the church and had a great time. The guy was really good. But you realize that in my story, when I got saved and invited to church again, lo and behold, I was at the same church.
Really?
Same church. I went there, I was invited. I went, not for good reason, I went to see if my girlfriend was going there. And so, but she invited me to go. I went, I sat down, and I said, I've been here before. I said, there were red carpets, there were pews made out of white pine. This was where I saw the Christian magician. That's part of my thread. We have threads that we can talk about. So, old stories. Tell me again the old stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The end. Oh, yeah. Amen.
Amen. That was so good.
So good.
Thought provoking for sure.
Yeah.
I think I can pray now.
Yeah,
pray. Lord, I thank you that we are a part of your story. I thank you that we can talk about how we are parts. We are characters in your gospel message. We have become part of it because we have been invited by you. We can't just walk in. We have to have an invitation. And we have to make that invitation known to others. It's part of what our story is about.
Right.
It's the essential part of what the story is about. Other stuff is important, and maybe it's just fluff until we get into the kingdom. Thank you that we can do that, that it's fun, and sometimes it's not fun, but it's all good. Mm-hmm. Jesus makes it all good. Yeah.